Good morning, everyone. I think it's about time to get started this morning. We are looking at the Gospel of Matthew. We're looking at the Gospel of Matthew, and we were looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we were looking at giving us our daily bread. Before we get started this morning, if you will, please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you and praise you for all your blessings. We thank you for being our creator and for the creator of this whole universe and the creator of all these things that you've given us, Father. We thank you and praise you for giving us this world to live in and for giving us this life to live, to learn, to be closer to you, to draw closer to you, Father. We ask that you would show us in your word, Father, how we should live. Teach us to be your children correctly and to follow our Lord and Savior and do the things that you would have us do, Father, in this life. Help us to live the lives you created us to live, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. I'm just going to read this quickly in Matthew chapter 6. If I said the wrong chapter a moment ago, I'm sorry. Chapter 6, verses 9 through, we'll go down through 15. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then the next couple of verses, Jesus says, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, like I said, we had been going down through the prayer, and we had talked about, we were actually talking about give us this day our daily bread, and we had talked about the rich a little bit and how even they needed to pray for that. So we were talking about these verses here where Jesus tells his disciples how hard it is for a rich man or a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. So how can the rich get to heaven? Just like everybody else. That's true, just like everybody else. But Jesus gives us the answer in the next verses, right? Because when the disciples heard him say that it was very difficult, like a camel going through the eye of a needle, they were surprised, right? So when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? Because in their culture, in their day, they assumed that the rich were blessed by God, that they were following God, and they were on their way to heaven. That was a common assumption. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So they were surprised, and they thought, well, then if we're not that blessed, if we're not, you know, that blessed by God, then we're never going to make it if the rich who are supposedly blessed aren't making it. So this was a big surprise to them. But it's only possible with God, and that is true for all of us. So that was really a true statement. Yes?
I think the answer is really in verse 20.
In verse 20? What, of Matthew 19? Oh, okay. Right. So let's look down at verse 20. Well, yes, but lay up for yourselves treasures on... I'm confusing my verses. I'm sorry. I had a glare. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So, yes, but that's going to be with God, right? We can't lay up treasures in heaven without God. So, but that is still true. We should be doing good things to lay up treasures in heaven. So anyway, just a quick reminder, because we were kind of ending that little segment, that, you know, the wealthy may not need the physical monetary things or materials that some people need, but they still have the same spiritual and emotional and mental needs that everyone needs, that everyone has. So don't forget that. And our Father supplies us with all those things we need every day, not just our physical daily bread, but everything we need spiritually and in all those other areas. So the next part of the Lord's Prayer, unless someone has anything on our daily bread, I'm sorry.
I do one part, this 14 and 15. It says, if we forgive men, can we forgive men if they stay in their situation and don't ask for forgiveness? I've always been taught if someone asks for forgiveness, he's forgiving or God forgives him or whoever. But if he doesn't ask for forgiveness, how can he be forgiven?
Well, now, you have a point there. If I don't ask you for forgiveness, if I sin against you, because he's really talking about us forgiving
each other,
right? So if I sin against you and I don't ask for forgiveness, then there is a sense that I'm still wrong. I still have that wrong, right? But that doesn't mean that on your part that you can't still forgive me or feel sorry for me that I'm not any better than that.
Thank you. I just needed that. You know, I couldn't quite figure out, do I forgive or don't I forgive if I don't ask for forgiveness?
Sometimes we still forgive people even though they do not ask.
Well, I didn't know.
Because they may do something and hurt us, and whether it's intentional or not doesn't even matter. We may never even see that person again. But we can still forgive them and, you know, and move on past that.
Thank you.
Yes.
We can look to Jesus' example, and he said, forgive them. They killed him.
Right. Jesus on the cross says, forgive them. They know not what they do. So there's an example, and, you know, and he's forgiving all those people. Yes, Rachel?
even Joseph forgave his brothers.
Yes.
Yes, but they asked for forgiveness.
Even Joseph did forgive his brothers, definitely, yes. And I think that was a bit of a struggle when you read that story. That is a... Yes, Judy?
We may not know that we have done something that we need to... So it may have been unintentional, yet we need to...
Right, and that's possible. We could hurt one another even unintentionally and maybe not even realize it, and hopefully we would forgive that other person that... Yes, Eileen? Yep.
But the bigger thing for each and every one of us is to remember to forgiveness is not changing the situation, but accepting and forgiving that. Even, you know, like sometimes families have difficult dynamics.
Yes.
And you want them to change, but they're not going to change, you know? And so forgiveness doesn't mean that they're right. Forgiveness is, I have decided that it's not as important to be right as much as I forgive that person for what they did to me. It's okay. You can't change it. But the bigger thing is that you have forgiven and you're not holding on to that situation any longer.
Right. Forgiveness is, for one, it's a choice, right? It's a choice we choose to do that, but it doesn't mean the situation has changed or that the person either doesn't mean either one of you is necessarily right or wrong, but it means you're choosing to forgive that person for whatever hurt was involved, whether it's intentional or not, but it's a choice that we make. And that's the example that Jesus gives us to forgive. He was intentionally crucified. So, I mean, but we're choosing to do that. Yes, Pat. Right, and that's always true. We cannot change other people necessarily, but we can always change ourselves, right? We can always be better, a better example of Christ and Jesus, and in changing ourselves that may help that other person even. So definitely, but Yes.
Thank everybody for answering my question from now on. We can move on.
Okay. Well, Addie said thanks for everyone answering the question. But, well, it's a good question, and that is an important thing that we need to remember, that we need to forgive, even, you know, even if it's something that there's no real solution or change in the situation, or, you know, we just need to forgive. Yes.
And a lot of times there's not really a resolution.
Right.
There's a blessing that comes in being forgiving of whatever took place. And that's peace.
Right. Right. Yeah, there is a blessing that comes with forgiving others, you know, that peace. And yes, Rachel.
And we can't expect to be forgiven by God if we don't forgive other people here on earth.
Exactly. We can't expect to be forgiven if we do not forgive. And there's a whole, there's a whole lot of that Jesus talks about. Yes.
So the expression, I can forgive, but I can't forget. If you don't forget, like, you haven't actually moved on.
Well, when we forgive someone, there's varying ways to look at that. When we forgive someone, like, especially of something, of maybe a hurt or something, we can forget that. Now, if someone repetitively does the same thing over and over and over, you can still forgive them and just acknowledge, like somebody lies to me constantly, say, or a lot. I can forgive them for that. But in my mind, it's wise of me to remember that they do that, because that could become an important thing at some point. How much can I trust that? It's not that I'm not forgiving them, but at the same time, I have to be discerning enough to realize that they're not always going to be honest with me. So we don't always forget everything. Now, God forgets our sins. He purposefully does that, but that's God. We can't always do that every time, even though you're right. We need to forget as much as we can so that we can move on past that, right? Just not letting that be something we're taking advantage of. Pat?
Larry always had the saying, when you forgive somebody, you should bury the hatchet, but don't take the handle of the cold.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, don't. Yes, did you have something? Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Did anybody else have anything? I thought I saw other hands and I just didn't get a chance to get around to. No? Okay. All right. Well, does anybody else have anything on that before I kind of move on? We're still going to stay in this same subject. Yes. Okay.
It's like you can't unhear words that was said. Somebody says something nasty to you. You can't unhear those. I might be able to forgive them for it.
Right.
But I can't unhear those words.
Right. Some wounds can be really bad, like you're thinking of, depending on the person and what's said, and it can be hard to forget those things. But we can forgive, and at least as much as possible, try not to hold that against them. But sometimes those hurts, I think Satan even uses those hurts to bring them back up to try to create problems, you know. Yes, Shirley?
You can forgive people for the wrongs that they have done against you. Maybe being abusive, mentally, physically, I'm just throwing that in.
Yeah.
You can forgive them, but your mind will never forget. Somehow that flashback will come. You can be doing things in midday, and that flashback will come back.
Sometimes
you're
that can.
You're not going to forget it. Right. Because your mind remembers wonderful things. It's also going to remember bad.
Right.
And I'm sure that people that have been, for an example, would be for those that have served their country and have been in the wars. Do you think they're going to forget all that?
That's what I was thinking of, too. They're certain.
I'm not going to forget
right.
that. So the same basis, if somebody does something against you, says something, does something, and continually does it, I've often wondered, is there a verse in the Bible that says we are to forgive and forget? Because you do hear people say that. Well, you need to forgive and forget.
I'm not sure. I mean, that's not what Jesus says here. I'll tell you that. I mean, here he's not saying that. He's saying to forgive, though. But, right. And there's certain traumas we have, certain things. If you've had a traumatic experience, such as in a war or any kind of violence or other things that might have you have certain scars and different things, then you will remember those things, even though they're bad. And you may forgive the person or whoever did that, but you may, you, it's hard to get past those traumas. And that's another story that, a lot of times I would say, you know, if it's really bad, if it's disabling, then we should probably see a Christian counselor, someone who can hopefully really help provide some support.
But if we're holding on to that, have we truly forgiven?
Well, it's recorded in your mind, though. So your mind, our brains remember things. It records things. And
Satan's over there.
I can't always erase everything. I was, I'll never forget the time I was basically kicked and stomped by a horse, right? Okay, I mean, I forgave that animal. I didn't have anything. He's just an animal. Didn't have anything against him. But my mind, that's in my mind. I still don't like to be around big animals because of that. That's for me, that's a personal scary thing. So, yes?
I don't believe there is a Bible verse that talks about how we should forgive and forget. But I think when we say that, we just mean forgive them and like, don't keep dwelling on it, bringing it up. Kind of move it past, but we don't forget. I mean, well, I guess we do forget sometimes, but that's because we're, you know, imperfect.
Yes, now we do forget some things, and especially minor things. You'll notice over the course of your life, you've probably forgotten a ton of things. I know I have. I don't remember everything from every day. So there is some of that because we are, like Matt says, we're imperfect. We do forget some things, but there are some things that are traumatic, like Shirley is talking about, that are bad, that stay with you, and you can forgive, but it's a lot harder to always get past all those things. You can do it, but you have to work at it. Yes?
The biggest help that we have is going to God in prayer and asking Him to help us to make peace with the past, the things that have happened to us, the hurts, all the horrors of whatever, and to kind of leave it at rest and ask God to not allow it to come to mind with frequency, or to just kind of
right.
calm
and
that down.
One way to suppress and fight against those things is to remember God, to pray to God, to study the Word, to try to think of better things, right? Paul encourages us, and Jesus too here later is going to encourage us, you know, to seek the kingdom and think of those things, not to be focused on things here. But that's why I mentioned, though, a Christian counselor type of situation, maybe someone who would help you focus on those better things and remember and think on those other things. It's hard when you have some traumatic event in your life, which everybody has things that have been hard for them to forget. So, but
this is not so much a problem. Well, to a certain extent, it is a problem, but it wasn't that big a problem. I just wanted that question answered because God says forgive.
Right.
And you know, but I've always been taught somebody has to ask for forgiveness. But everybody's right. You forgive him anyway.
Right, Stephen forgave, and
yeah.
nobody was asking him for forgiveness. They were busy killing him. I'm sorry, that's just
something that crossed my mind.
So, yeah, no, it's a valid thing though, because I've heard that too. That well, someone has to ask, and it's like, well, no, nobody was asking Jesus for forgiveness on the cross, and nobody was asking Stephen. These examples we have is totally unrepentant toward us, and that sounds hard and awful, but it's our example. Yes.
Go back to model prayer here, verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we have to remember that as well. It's forgive, you know, we forgive others as forgive us as we forgive others. See, because God is forgiving us for all our sins, whether we know them whether we don't know them, whether we ask for forgiveness. Now, we say that we should ask for forgiveness, but here Jesus is telling us to pray for that forgiveness, even for the things maybe we're ignorant of, right? Maybe we sinned and don't know it. Kind of like Job would give sacrifices for his children just in case, right? He didn't know. And we should pray for forgiveness, and especially for the things maybe that we missed, that we don't realize we even missed day to day. And maybe in a week or two, we'll realize we missed something. But today, I didn't notice that I missed that, you know, that type of thing. We still want to pray for forgiveness for those things, and we should forgive others in that same way. Sometimes they may not even realize that they have hurt you or injured you in some way. So then, to kind of come back to our study, do we all need forgiveness then? Yes, right? That's what we're talking about. We all need forgiveness. Now, I'm not trying to dig into the translation necessarily, but why is the word debts and debtor, why is that used here? Yes, ma'am?
Well, I notice if you look at Luke's parallel in Luke 11, mm-hmm. it says, "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." So he kind of ties that together.
Yeah.
And so I think the idea is that, you know, we don't really owe God anything except, you know, we have a debt of sin. So there's right. a sense in which when we sin against our brother, there's a debt there that needs.
Right.
Not about money necessarily.
It's not right. It's not really about money, but the idea is we owe God. What we do owe God is service and faith. And when we sin, we're sinning against him and creating this debt of wrongdoing. This we've done something wrong. Now we owe him, and really, technically, we owe a death, but for us, thank the Lord, Jesus has paid that for us. But so he's using this as a way of getting our understanding that we owe this debt of sin to God. We are, when we sin, we're creating this debt. And but it doesn't, it's equated to the idea of sin, I guess is what I was getting at here. And if we look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death," like I was just talking about. So we're creating this debt of sin that makes us deserving of death. But Jesus paid that debt for us. And then, two, he washes us free from our sin with his blood, which he talks about in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So the Lord continues to forgive us as we go through life. And that's how we need to be forgiving to others as we go through life. It's going to be, sometimes it's going to be repetitive. We're going to forgive people for the same sins over and over, just like the Lord forgives us as we struggle and we try to learn and do better. You know, we repent of things sometimes the first go around or two, you know, we still mess up, but you know, and like anger is a bad one. It's an easy one to think of because we still have outbursts of anger, even though maybe we've been a Christian for years and we've been working on it for years, but maybe we still have that problem. But the Lord will continue to forgive us for that, if we're sincere and we're working on that. So the thing, and the thing we were talking about was this request comes with a further requirement and a reminder, because it's as we forgive our debtors. So I know we've talked about a lot of this around about in ways, but as we forgive our debtors, what does that mean then? That means we forgive others as we've been forgiven, right? Or we're forgiven by God as we forgive those who sin against us. It's the idea. Yes, Matt?
There's a connection between us forgiving each other.
And right.
Forgiveness from God.
Right, because because what does it mean if we do not forgive? Maybe that's the best way to answer that. Or to ask that question, what does it mean if we do not forgive others? If we look at what Jesus is telling us in this prayer. Yes. Well, it does mean we're lacking love and mercy, right? We're not being very godly, right? Yes, Ellie.
You're still harboring ill will toward that.
And we're still harboring ill will. Yes, that, yeah. Matt?
And then to the text, verse 15, it answers your question. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So
right.
He's looking for our heart.
Yes.
If we're going to be so ungrateful to just be jerks to each other, why should he forgive us?
Right. Jesus is looking to our heart. He's wanting us to forgive as we're forgiven, right? So if we're not forgiving others, then we won't be forgiven either. That's the plain intent of what he's saying. And that's why he does repeat that down after the prayer. The next two verses he says, this is why you need to forgive, because if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. And he's repeating that to make sure that we understand that, because if we don't forgive, then of course we're dead in our sins without forgiveness, right? If he's not forgiving us, if he's not washing our sins away, then there's no other recourse. We're dead. We're going to the lake of fire. So we just have to understand that people are going to sin against us in this life, that nobody's perfect. We have to be prepared to forgive them and to forgive. We're forgiving them not just so we will be forgiven, but we should also have like a heartfelt sympathy or empathy with them, understanding that they may just, you know, it's not, like I said, it's not always purposeful, it's not always intentful, but just being sorry that their hearts could be that hard if it was intentional, if they were being cruel, just feeling sorry for them that they don't know any better, having that empathy. And we also need to forgive, because we want to maintain one thing that forgiveness does for us. It helps us maintain a relationship with God, right? Helps us maintain status with him as his child, so that we have this relationship with him. And when we forgive others, a lot of times we maintain and keep a relationship with that person when we forgive them, right? Instead of distancing ourselves or pushing them away. Yes, Pat?
If you read Romans 12, verses 17-21, it deals with
this. Let's see. So if we look at Romans 12, we'll look at 17. Right. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that is the idea, right? That's the idea of how we're supposed to be. And that definitely would be good in helping maintain that relationship, right? We want to have that relationship with others. We want to be able to speak with others and hopefully convert them, right? Hopefully get them to see the Lord. So
this is the best Bible study this morning. I didn't mean it the way people may think of me, but I just wanted the question answered. And we've got a wonderful Bible study on.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad everybody is joining in. That's right. That is good when everybody, you know, can talk about these things. So our final request in the prayer, unless anyone has anything else on that. Okay. Is, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, is how my translation is. Others, I think, say just deliver us from evil. So, but what are we asking for in this verse, in verse 13? Sometimes that sounds a little confusing. Yes, Matt?
Well, just help us. Help us to go in the right way.
Basically, help lead and guide us, right? We're asking for God to not lead us into temptation, right, but to lead us away from temptation, really. It's an odd way of maybe saying that, but we're asking to be led and kept from temptation. Yes.
Right. To walk in his ways, the way he's directed, be in alignment with that, and walking in the light.
Right. Walk. Yeah. We're asking to be led away from that, to stay in alignment with God and in the light. Yes, Pat. Right, we need that relationship with God. If we're going to be asking anything of God, we need to be in that relationship, yes. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So where does our temptation come from?
The evil one, the devil.
The evil one, our own desires, ourselves, right? Right, it's a combination of things. The temptation, some temptations may come externally, but they're still pulling on us based on our desire. And then other temptations are definitely internal. And that, again, has to do with our own desires, right? Yes, Pat? Yeah, we're our own worst enemy sometimes, right? Yes, that can be. So then, does God lead us into temptation anyway? Does he lead us into it? Judy shaking her head, no, right? God does not lead us into temptation. It's just as Jesus was telling us to remove temptation from our lives. You know, here we're just praying for God to lead us away from temptation, to help us keep our lives clear of temptation and sin. And this is always in God's will that we would do that we would have that. He wants to deliver us from evil, which is the second part of this. Yes, Pat? No, God did not lead him into temptation. It was Satan there. That's actually a very good example, isn't it? Because Satan is there with that temptation. Now, the Spirit, some verses say the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, but that was for the fasting and the prayer, right? That wasn't necessarily, and it says to be tempted, and he was tempted by the devil, but it wasn't really God leading him into temptation. Satan was bringing the temptation. He was doing the fasting to draw close to God. Yes. Opportune time, right? Yeah, he's going to come back later and do more temptation. Yes, Matt?
Maybe you just read this. I'm sorry if I'm repeating, but James 1:13, let no one say he is tempted.
Yep.
Being tempted by God, right?
Right.
And because he cannot be tempted by evil, God can't be tempted. And he himself does not tempt anyone.
Right. That plainly says James chapter 1, verse 13, right? God does not lead us into temptation. He doesn't tempt us to do evil. He's not tempted to do evil. He has no affiliation with evil. So, and on the translation thing, I know that mine says the evil one and some say evil. And if you relate the evil one to Satan, which I'm sure that was their thought and their intent, and or the other just being all evil, well, that really comes from Satan anyway. So it's really basically the same. So, let's see. So it's kind of a preventative request that we make, right, to avoid evil, to stay away from evil, to stay away from temptation. We're asking God to help us prevent ourselves from doing things that are wrong. And it's kind of like the man who asked Jesus to help my unbelief, right? He's saying, okay, I'm not perfect. I don't believe correctly all the time, but help my unbelief. I want to believe. And this is us saying we want to be out of temptation, we want to be out of sin. You know, it's a good request. Yes.
Jesus was praying for his apostles. Particularly we see the instance where he tells Peter that he'd been praying for him because Satan wanted to sift him.
Right, and Jesus did pray for his apostles. There's that prayer in John where we see that's for the apostles and for all of us, even those to come. And we want to remember that everything in this prayer is in God's will. This is an example that Jesus gave us. So Jesus would not give us a flawed example of a prayer. It's not that he intends for us to repeat this over and over like we said. Then the prayer ends by acknowledging God the Father. Now, some I think some don't include this line, some translations. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It may not be present in all manuscripts. I'm just really accustomed to that from the King James Version. And I still think it's a fine way. We start a prayer with some praise. I think being thankful and grateful and ending the prayer with maybe a little more praise is fine. But regardless of that, what does that line kind of remind you of or make you think of? That last line there. Yes. Well, it kind of does, doesn't it? And it's to remind us that we're acknowledging His kingdom, His power, His rule. We are in His kingdom. He is our ruler, and we're acknowledging that, right? And amen means so be it or let it be so. And at the end of the prayers, you know, we're just saying we want God's will done with that a lot of times. That's how we take that and mean that. And so that's what we're saying to our Heavenly Father, you know, let your will be done. We're in your kingdom. You are our ruler. Does anybody else have anything on that? Maybe I'm going too long into some of this, but if we look at the next few verses, though, just to recap what we were talking about, Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And if we look at question 6 in the workbook, of things in the Lord's Prayer, on what does Jesus elaborate? And he's referring to this. And that's that need for us to forgive others, right? To forgive others their trespasses against us. So why does Jesus state this again? For the reasons we were talking about, right? I mean, we've kind of covered this, so I'm going to kind of go through it a little quickly. Because if we do not forgive, we're not forgiven. We don't get forgiveness. So now there is a parable that illustrates this point even. That's how important this is. There's even another lesson to this. Does anybody remember which parable that is? Yes, Pat? Is it chapter 11? I thought I... Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought, oh, I've written down the wrong chapter because I thought it was Matthew 18. But it's the parable of the unforgiving servant, right? Right, in chapter 18. And I'll just read a couple of the ending verses here. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. And should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my Heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his heart. I'm messing this up. I apologize. So my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So he's plainly telling us here again, repeating that even with that parable. And you might remember how large was the debt that he owed his master, this servant? It was large. Right. And that's okay. I wasn't really expecting in detail, but it was huge. He owed a huge debt, and that's like the debt of sin that we owe God. It's huge. And how much did this fellow servant owe him?
Little bits, like 100.
It was some money, but it was very small in comparison. It's very little. And that's true, because people sin against us a lot less than we sin against God. That's that comparison again. So, and then, let's see, we know that the debt represents our sin or offenses. And how much does God forgive us?
All
of it, right? All of it, because we were talking about that. God forgives us all of it. So how much should we forgive as that same example? All of it, right? So, and then, like we said, what happens if we do not forgive? We end up dead in our sins. And what has to change for us to exhibit God's kind of forgiveness like this?
Our hearts.
Our hearts. That's right. Our hearts have to change, you know. God has forgiven us. He continues to forgive us through Christ, through Jesus. Yes. It does interfere with our relationship with God, because if we're not forgiven, we're no longer in a good relationship with God, right? We're outside of that relationship. So, let's see here. Because, yeah, back in chapter 5, he was telling them, you know, if you're bringing your gift to the altar and remember that, you know, you have this something between you and your brother, leave your gift there. And go away, first be reconciled, and then return, right? So there is that example there also. So it's just extremely important that we understand this example from the Lord and that we forgive others just as God forgives us. So we've already mentioned all the little examples I had here, which is great. So appreciate that. And I thank everyone for your time this morning. We'll stop here and pick up here next week. So thank you very much.